If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
And now some shoving underneath. Look out. It was Portis and Nemhard.
We have two acts by Portis. One is a push in the chest. The other one is a slap with contact to the head of Neymar. He has two technical fouls and is ejected.
Turner again for a six. Miles Turner.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
And that is how you take care and protect home court. The Indiana Pacers take care of the depleted Milwaukee Bucks, beating them 126-113 in a very chippy back-and-forth game. I will tell you what, it did not feel good for a little bit of this game, Focci, but the Pacers walk away with a W thanks to Miles Turner going off in the second half. The crowd erupting with Miles Turner chants. Bobby Portis gets ejected in the first quarter. We have a lot to talk about in this game, but right now, the most important thing, Indiana has a 3-1 series lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. How are we doing?
Life is good. 3-1. The Pacers are up. It wasn't pretty. It was not pretty, but the Pacers got the job done. I didn't care if they won by one or if they won by 10 or more. Just get a win and handle business. That is exactly what the Pacers did. Felt like they closed things out down the stretch. You talked about Miles Turner, but Turner was incredible in this game. You could make an argument. This might have been the best Miles Turner we've ever seen. He scored more points in regular season games, but on a stage like this, the last three performances Turner has given us have been his best each and every time. Wow. We're going into game five with an opportunity to close it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Chris Middleton leaves in the third quarter, comes back and plays, but didn't look like himself. He was limping. Pat Beverly kept grimacing, grabbing his back. Bobby Portis gets ejected in this game in the first, 7 minutes of play. Obviously, Damian Lillard did not play in this game. He has an Achilles injury, and it seems like they did an MRI. There was no timetable for his return, but doesn't seem like he'll probably go for game five. It looks like Giannis did some prep work, some pregame workouts, to see where he's at, and Doc said he was able to run, so it kind of feels like maybe Giannis could come back for game five, but we'll have to see what exactly the approach is going to be from Milwaukee now that they are down 3-1. It's just been a lot of injuries for them. I will say this. I credit the Bucks for their competitiveness, the way they fought in this game, and, you know, Middleton was great once again. Brook Lopez could barely miss a shot. Looked like he was 2014 Brook Lopez, but I would just say this. The way Miles Turner rose to the occasion, had the dunk over Brook Lopez in the corner three, and the crowd is chanting Miles Turner. I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was a special, special moment.
It had to have been. And I honestly think when Turner looks back on his career in general, that moment that you just described very well may be one of the top things that comes to mind. That crowd, the crowd that he's been so loyal to his whole career, chanting his name, and, you know, to hit that three, the crowd absolutely went wild. Turner was going wild. That was a big moment for the Pacers in this game. And going back to that laundry list of injuries you mentioned from Milwaukee, I do feel for them. When Middleton went down, I was like, it's got to be tough for the Milwaukee fan base, seeing your players just going down left and right. It seemed like it was freak injuries at times, but I feel for them. This is the playoffs. This is where you want to be healthy. Milwaukee's nothing but, I mean, they're far from healthy, but at the same point, the Pacers just got to be able to control their side of things. It's happened to us in the past, playoff series without Oladipo or without Sabonis, things like that. It happens. Unfortunately for Milwaukee, I think the airs are coming out of the tires right now, and it'd be a bold move to bring Giannis back down 3-1, knowing this probably just isn't the year.
Yeah, and I will say this, like Indiana has won 3 in a row against Milwaukee, so if they bring Giannis back, Middleton can play, Portis can play, Lopez can play. I think they feel pretty confident in themselves to be able to win 3 games in a row too. So this series is not over. It is 75% complete, and I think that's where you have to really understand, look, there's 2 games left in Milwaukee and only 1 game left in Indiana. The good news is, thanks to Eddie Garrison from 107.5 and 93.5 The Fan, he is the Pacers, you know, game producer for the radio call with Mark Boyle and Eddie Gill. The Pacers have never blown a 3-1 series lead in a playoff series.
Got to find some wood real quick. I'm knocking on that. Great spot to be in. I don't know how many times the Pacers have been in a 3-1 spot. Definitely not recently. I started thinking back, and it was like, when was the last time you're up 3-1? I can tell you that it goes all the way back at least 10 years ago. But even then, some of those Eastern Conference Finals teams were struggling early on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a little bit of unfamiliar territory over at least the last decade or so.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to go back to Miles Turner because we haven't really touched on everything that he did in this game. But, you know, battling Brooke Lopez, it looked like he had jumped all the way back to 2014 and was playing post-up Brooke Lopez basketball that he's not really played before. But Miles Turner in this game, 29 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, plus 17. If you go back to game 3, he had 29 points and 9 rebounds as well. Didn't have the same amount of assists and blocks, but he did have a steal and was a plus 10. And if you go back to game 2, which we thought was a great game from him, where he had 22 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 blocks, he was a plus 19 in that one. So when Miles Turner has been on the floor for the Pacers, they have been significantly better. And even in game 1 when the Pacers lost, I don't have it up, but I do know that it was a positive number. So Miles' minutes have been positive for the Pacers. They're winning those minutes. And I think it's because Miles has found this newfound confidence playing against Milwaukee. And we wondered, could Miles be the big three of Siakam, Halliburton, and Turner? And this series, he's probably been more like the number two in every game. So you got to give credits where credit's due. Miles Turner deserves all the flowers for this one. He was spectacular.
Turner deserves a bouquet of roses, right? He really does. He played incredible. 7 made threes. 3 blocks. I mean, he was doing it all. I mean, we mentioned 29 points. Digging deeper into that, it's now only 3 players ever have had 7 made threes and 3 blocks in a game. It's Turner, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. But it gets even crazier than that. Over the last 2 games, Miles Turner's 11 made threes is the most by any center in a 2-game playoff stretch in NBA history. He's also shooting 58%. On those three. So it's not like he's just jacking them up. Turner's been lights out from three-point land. The dunk that he had on Brooke Lopez was an absolute ferocious statement. It's just this is the Miles Turner that, like, when you've been out of the playoffs for a while, you've never gotten out of the first round, this is the best Turner you could possibly hope for and more. So, yeah, when you mentioned about being about a top 2 player in the series, I would say from game 3 and game 4, he's been the best Pacer because Siakam game 1 and game 2 was incredible. The last 2 games, Miles Turner has been out of this world.
He really has, and I think that a lot of the attention has gone to Pascal Siakam to try to take him out of the game, and because of that, it's allowed Miles Turner more opportunities to be heavily involved in the offense, and I think that he's answered the call. And there's a reason why Pascal said that there was 2 players he wanted to play with, Kevin Durant and Miles Turner. And now you're seeing why, and I think Tyrese Halliburton's even alluded to it multiple times, that when he first got traded to Indiana, he's always thought he needed more of an Isaiah Jackson type of center to play with, more of a lob threat guy he can throw the pass to. But he said now that he's played with a floor spacer in Miles, he can't imagine going to a different type of big to be his partner for the long term. So I'll just say this. Miles Turner is in the prime of his career right now.
Yep.
And he is playing like a man on a mission. I know I keep using that phrase over the last three episodes. I apologize for the lack of a better term, but it's just what it feels like. He feels like a guy that wants to prove not only to the state of Indiana, but the rest of the league, how special he is. And you've got people that really are kind of nationally watching this saying, man, Miles Turner has been really impressive in this series. And you know why? It's because he's a really good basketball player. And we didn't give him the respect that he deserved about 5 years ago, 4 years ago. But since he's been the solo center, he has completely blossomed into this new player that I don't think we knew was in Miles Turner. And he has reached that calling card and he's risen above it. He's been awesome.
He really has. And look, the Pacers had a good problem on their hands with Sabonis and Turner. It's just not how the NBA is built these days. You need really one sole center. And I feel both players have thrived. But what we're seeing from Turner right now, it's the best Miles Turner we've ever seen, really, on this stretch. I know game one you mentioned he was a positive, but struggled from the field like 5-17. But you go one game just before that against the Hawks, he was incredible in that game. He's been playing his best ball all season right now when you need him. And I think that for that, you know, it can't go unnoticed. Overall, we felt this might happen for the Pacers. They were going to have one of those crazy shooting nights. And tonight they had that. 22 made threes on 22 of 43 shooting from three. It's a Pacer franchise best. They made it rain from three-point land. And, you know, the Pacers were due for one of those games. I mean, this was a team that led the NBA in field goal percentage, led the NBA in scoring, and, you know, game one, they couldn't buy a three. Well, lately, they've been stroking it from three, and that's been awesome to see. One other thing I want to touch on real quick as it relates to, you know, some of these three-point shooting, it's the looks the Pacers have gotten. The Pacers have had three games in this playoff series, three out of four, where they've had 30 or more assists. They also have the fewest turnovers of any playoff team. No team in the NBA outside of the Pacers has had 30 assists once. And on a night like tonight, Nembhard, McConnell, and Siakam, 24 assists to zero turnovers. The ball movement has been incredible. They've been getting great looks, and they've been making the Bucks pay for it.
Yeah, I will say this. Tyrese Haliburton did not have a ton of assists tonight, just four assists after having 16 the previous game. So still around 10 per game at home, right? But still, it was one of those things where Tyrese Haliburton was being more of a scorer. You talk about the three-point shots. He took 12 again in this game. He had five instead of one, so that's a much better percentage. Andrew Nembhard, 3 of 4. Aaron Nesmith, 3 of 5. Doug McDermott got into the game. He went 1 of 2. Obi Toppin went 1 of 2 from three. Ben Shepherd, 2 of 2. Shockingly enough, T.J. McConnell actually jacked up three threes, missed them all, and Siakam went 0 of 4. But, of course, Miles Turner, like we mentioned already, 7 of 9 from three. So most of your guys that took threes shot around 50% or better. So that just kind of shows you like how on fire they were. And I even felt like there was a good stretch there, probably in the third quarter after they got out to that big run where Tyrese had like a 9-0 run against the Bucks. They went kind of to this point where they started jacking up threes. It just didn't look good. Yeah. And I thought to myself, oh no, they're falling in love with the 3-point shot a little bit too much here. Didn't like the way they were shooting them. They didn't like the looks they were really getting. But overall, the numbers, franchise record for the playoffs, you can't argue with that. So water finds its level. I know it's a very overused phrase, but it's very applicable for this scenario here tonight with the Pacers.
It's a saying that fits this team. But we also talked about not just for the team, Haliburton would have one of these shooting nights. We knew he would, and he did. I thought that Tyrese had his you know, you mentioned it, five made threes tonight. He was really stroking it. I think that was great to see. In specific, gave you three really good quarters. Went scoreless in the fourth. Look, that back injury, you know, we weren't expecting that. And he said that his back really tightened up. At one point, he didn't know if he was going to be able to go. And he gave the Pacers 24 points on 8 of 16 shooting. I think that the volume was there. The accuracy was there. It was just great to see. Then you mentioned about that streak where he got hot. He started putting up some heat checks. Like threes that you're like, all right, you've earned the right to shoot that. But we could probably find a better look. But I thought that, yeah, Haliburton absolutely brought it in a game where to hear that he was saying there was a hot second, I didn't know if I was going to be able to go or not, and he gives you 24 points. I mean, man, I was worried the second that lead was over about 10 with a couple minutes ago. I was saying we got to get Halliburton out of there. You can't risk anything. He ends up playing the fewest minutes of all Pacers starters, just 32 minutes. Everybody else played at least 38. I think that was the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, it was smart to not overplay these guys, but I will say that first half, I mean, if we're going to get a little bit negative here, I just want to say the first half, the Pacers only led by three going into the halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And if they got out to a kind of a back-and-forth start, it was 33-33. So they ended up outscoring Milwaukee, but only by 3 points in the second quarter. Wasn't good enough. And to me, it kind of felt like the Pacers didn't have their foot fully on the gas. We kind of felt like that. And we knew, if you're a Pacer fan, you know this is typical of this team to play down to their competition. And I don't want to be negative to the Bucks or anything like that, but when you're missing your two best players in the series, maybe, you know, Giannis and Dame, whatever. I mean, Middleton's been great too. I mean, you have a three-headed monster there in Milwaukee, right? But without the two guys that are kind of the face of the franchise, to me, you know, the Pacers should have came out guns a-blazing, realizing that how big this moment was. Instead, to me, they played this game like it was a February game before the All-Star break. I tweeted that out because that's how I felt. Their defense was putrid. They were kind of late on rotations, not really doing things. And quite frankly, I think that they were off to such a slow and sluggish start that Bobby Portis did the Pacers a favor by getting into the face of Andrew Nembhard. I felt like it kind of let the crowd up a little bit, added some more electricity into the building, and I kind of think it woke the Pacers up because they went on a little bit of a run after that.
They did, and as they should have. Because, yeah, you talked about it. Like, this was a Bucks team that was limping around, but Andrew Nembhard, I mean, I think he's made a lot of fans in Indiana and a lot of enemies in Milwaukee. That man has been up and in the midst of a lot of scuffles this series. Bobby's been frustrated all series. He knows that, you know, the fans have been chirping at him. He's been making comments in the media. Nembhard got under his skin. It was a stupid move by Bobby to get tossed. He shoved Nembhard and then tried to take a slap at him or something of the sort. But either way, that was a boneheaded move by Bobby Portis. And I think that once that happened, I expected the Pacers to really run away with this. Pat Beverly, you know, gets hurt afterwards. I think that was another bad loss for the Bucks, and that's why I think Halliburton was able to really start, you know, letting those threes fly, getting a little bit more space. But you know, right when that Bobby Portis scuffle happened, I went, "It's about to be a healthy dose of Brook Lopez, isn't it?" And it really was. And I think the Pacers, you know, we talked about, they couldn't stop it. But that was really the main problem tonight because Middleton was in foul trouble. He got banged up. I felt that Indiana had to win this game. If they lost this game, given the amount of injuries, the ejection of Bobby Portis, everything of the sort, it would have been a major, major letdown. But like I said earlier, I didn't care if we won by one or you won by 10 or 13, whatever it is, just get the job done. And I think that the Pacers finally distanced themselves in the second half, and it was great to see. They started playing their game. They led by 17 at one point, and hey, a win's a win.
Right. I mean, they pulled away there in the fourth quarter, especially when Miles kind of went on his run. But even when they got a little bit of a lead in the third quarter, like, they were up by, what, 13 points, 17 points? Oh, was it 17?
17 was the highest.
Yeah, they were up. I think it was up 13 at the end of the third quarter. Yeah, because they outscored the Bucks by 10.
And then the Bucks scored seven straight points.
Yeah, seven straight in the fourth of a minute 30. I was thinking to myself, what is happening here? The Pacers are not good enough to take their foot off the gas. They needed to be like Ron Artest, revving it up, right? So good to see Ron back in the building and getting some love.
He always roots for us. He roots hard for the Pacers. And that every year he's like, yeah, your next champion's going to be the Indiana Pacers. It's like, all right, Ron, I appreciate
Pacers
it.
And Lakers.
always.
That's his two teams. But yeah, it was good to see him back in the building. I know he was signing autographs, things like that. But, you know, you're right, though. Like, this whole entire scuffle, it was just really a boneheaded decision Bobby Portis with their team already so shorthanded. Bobby Portis is a very capable basketball player who I thought had found success in game three defending Pascal Siakam. I like the way that he actually was looking for a shot here in game four. I know he's not the biggest game changer overall, but I still think he's a very capable player. And it really put Milwaukee in a bind for their backup center position because he was playing a lot of backup five for Lopez. Now, like you said, more of a heavy dose of him. And then Danilo Gallinari has to come in and play backup center.
Blast from the past.
For the Bucks. And we know that he gave the Pacers issues earlier and when he played for the Wizards in that first opening night back when we had Bruce Brown still. So it's just one of those things where it's like, what was Bobby Portis thinking? There was some stuff that people said maybe he wanted to be done with this game because he's just really ticked off with everything that's gone wrong for Milwaukee. I don't know about that. I just think Nimhard's one of those dudes that gets under people's skin and he doesn't care. Nimhard is fearless. He's got, well, we say, that dog in him.
And, you need that.
And Bobby Portis was kind of holding on to him. They were tangled up there trying to fight for a rebound. And basically what Nimhard said, if you can read lips very well on a jumbotron, he said, get the F off me. And Portis didn't like that, so they kind of like let go kind of roughly. And that's when Portis took exception and went for his face and around the neck area. And I think the two times that he hit him, that's what got him ejected. I know that's a big talking point of this game, but to me, a veteran player like that, who knows the situation and what it is, whether you feel like you're going to win or lose, it doesn't really matter to me. You cannot allow that to happen. And that just kind of showed the immaturity, in my opinion, of Bobby Portis. And the fans let him know it. They chanted Bobby sucks as soon as that thing happened. He got ejected. And then as the game ended, they were chanting Bobby sucks. And I even got a video, a text message of fans in the concourse chanting Bobby sucks on their way out the door. So you talked about Andrew Nimhard made an enemy with the Bucks. Bobby Portis clearly made enemies with the Indiana Pacers fans.
I love it. I mean, this is truly how a rivalry happens. The Pacers are now 7-2 against the Bucks this year. That's crazy. And I know that, you know, whatever happens, and we obviously hope that the Pacers get the job done and send the Bucks packing, this is going to carry over until next year. Like, I could see this being a nationally televised game next year, given all the bad blood in this series. But for Bobby Portis, a stupid move, let his team down. As close as this game was at times, where Milwaukee was, you know, like you said, trailing by three at halftime or had it in single digits a ton of times, Bobby Portis really could have made a difference in this game. And I think the Pacers were fortunate that he really lost his cool. I mean, last game against the Pacers, Bobby Portis had 17 points and 18 rebounds. That's a big loss for Milwaukee. But on a few other notes, you know, we talked about Haliburton, how he had his stretch of getting hot. I think it was just what the Pacers needed. And Andrew Nimhard, like you mentioned, for the scuffle, he was just really good overall. 15 points, 9 assists. He had a spam. It was three straight times he took it in the paint on Milwaukee and was scoring. And I just feel like he's really kind of established himself. And, you know, you and I have really fought off a lot of people this year that have given Nimhard a lot of heat. And I would just like to hope right now that people really see his value and are like, okay, yeah, he's not going to be our leading scorer. That's not his role. But he plays a very vital role on this Pacers team. And they are absolutely a better team with Andrew Nimhard in that starting lineup. That's non-negotiable.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations, forgotten. The history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I mean, it was 6-9 tonight. Didn't force any shots.
Nope.
You know, he hits 3 of 4 from three. Thought he was pretty under control, and honestly, yeah, he's had some issues in this series defending Dame, fouling him on 3-point shots. But you know what? That's a tough task. Like, yeah, I mean, Damian Lillard is a great foul beater, and he is someone that can just be a sniper from outside that you can't give him room to breathe. So it's one of those things where you're danged if you do and danged if you don't with guarding Damian Lillard. But he's the Pacers' best perimeter defender, and I've talked about it multiple times on this show, but like the way he navigates screens, the way he fights so hard on everything, like he's just a really good player, very steady. And he was really calm and cool and collective. You know, we kind of, you know, talked about it a little bit last game when he hit that big 2-point shot to tie the game up at 115 before Nesmith hit the three. The big thing there to me was the Pacers had a possession before that was like 2 minutes long. We talked about that. Nobody could hit a shot, but Nimhard wasn't taking that shot at all in that possession. It was Tyrese, it was Nesmith, it was Pascal Miles, whatever. Everybody but Nimhard shot during that moment. Nimhard, knowing the Pacers were in this spot offensively stuck, he comes up and then just hits this two from about 17, 18 feet. And he was calm. He was cool. He was collected. And that is what you need from guys out there that have, you know, experienced big game moments in college, but know what it takes to win. And so he's just a winner. And I understand it's only year two of his career, but he's a dog. He's getting under the skin of a Bobby Portis. This is a player you cannot let go no matter what. He needs to be locked up with Indiana for as long as he can be, because they are a significantly better team when he was on the court.
No, they are. And we've, you know, obviously Nembhard comes into the league wanting to be a point guard, but we're blessed with Tyrese Haliburton. But I think that Nembhard's going to be just fine being a starting two guard on a playoff team. It's like there is a lot of value, a lot that he can contribute. Ever since Coach Thorpe pointed out Nembhard's corner threes, I've really been keeping an eye on it, and he has been great the last two games from corner threes. He's been just making it happen. So that's been great to see. And also, yeah, this was a night that, let's be honest, Pascal Siakam had a really quiet night. The Pacers, you know, the last two games, I felt, have really been able to step up and not rely on him as much as they did in the last two games. Siakam just 13 points on 6 of 14 shooting, but he also did have 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and 0 turnovers.
Yeah.
So Siakam's still managing to make winning plays, even if he's not giving you 35 or 36 points a night.
Yeah, 2 steals and a block as well. I mean, honestly, aside from the point, you know what he put out for the points, I thought it was pretty solid overall. Played pretty good defense. You know, it's one of those things where we talked about it just a little bit ago, how they're putting so much pressure on him that Miles kind of had to step up and do that. Now you wonder what will happen in game 5 on the road, because Pascal carried this team on the road in games 1 and 2. Will the confidence that this team just got from games 3 and 4 being back in the home building and having that fan base kind of rally them to bring more energy? Milwaukee is going to be a tough environment to go into for game 5. Elimination games are always much, much more difficult to win. It's hard to close out a series. I mean, that's not just like coach speak. That's what's really true. Like, it's just hard. And so if Giannis comes back, it's going to be a totally different series for 3 games here. And I think that Indiana, they really have to just come in and carry over, you know, let that energy and excitement and confidence that they got in games 3 and 4 carry over to game 5. Because if they're able to do that, they won't have to rely on Pascal Siakam to score 36, 37 points a game and kind of carry them on the road. They're going to need Nembhard to be great and be able to, you know, hold off, you know, getting lost into the shuffle with everything that's going to go crazy. Because, you know, Bucks fans, like you said, they're going to give it to Nembhard when he comes into their territory. So it's going to have to be a resilient effort. I think that it's a good possibility this does still go 6 games, but I think Indiana, if they want to get this series over with Fauci in 5 games, they got to play their best basketball, and they've got to make sure they're not too reliant on Pascal Siakam kind of carrying the offensive load like he did in games 1 and 2.
I would love to close this out in 5 games, but I'm worried the Pacers aren't quite there yet. I think that this is a team that absolutely thrived off of their home crowd. I definitely think that that was real. I think that I'm still up in the air if Giannis even comes back. I think it might be a dumb move by the Bucks to rush him back when they are just so banged up right now. So this might just be one of those where he can go into the offseason 100% fresh. Obviously, that's what Pacer fans want to hear. Will it happen? I don't know. But I would love to see the Pacers go to Milwaukee, get the job done, get a little bit of rest. I think that would be great. But you wonder if this team is really capable of winning, like, you know, 4 straight games in the playoffs, you know, to get the job done. I don't know if we're quite there yet. We're due for a letdown. It was almost tonight. I don't want to say it. I don't want to see it. But, you know, we do know this Pacers team has had their problems putting teams away. But on a night like tonight, you don't care how you got it done as long as you got it done. And I think that this Pacers team shows they got depth. They don't need to rely on just one guy. Other guys have been stepping up. 6 players scored 13 or more tonight. Obi Toppin's given the Pacers a great start in the last 2 games.
He's been awesome.
He's really come to play. That's important. It's like they're taking shifts carrying the team. And I think that you know, the Bucks just don't have a bunch of guys that can really take over a game at times. You got your Middleton. Lopez did it. And honestly, Beasley had a good game tonight. But I just feel that for the Pacers, like, it's been they've been able to swing that ball around and really be able to get good looks. The Bucks don't have anything like that right now.
No, they're struggling, and I think that their injuries are kind of hurting them. And it's pretty obvious. Like, this is not the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a version of the Bucks that doesn't have Giannis, and then this is another version of the Bucks that doesn't have Giannis and Dame, or really Pat Bev or Bobby Portis. So,
got a whole starting lineup out, basically.
What'd you say?
Basically, a whole starting lineup, honestly, is out, because even though Middleton's there, he's hurting. We know he's hurting, and he's still playing really, really well. It's just, we took the best shots from Middleton the other night, and we withstood them. And I think that at that point, it shows, hey, while he's playing really good, Chris Middleton is not enough to carry a team in 2024.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially at age 35, right? So he's a good player, though. There's no doubt about it.
I gain respect for him. I have.
I've liked the way the Bucks have kind of played. I honestly have. I think, you know, for them to come into this environment, get down big by 20 points in game three, take the lead eventually and make this go to overtime. Like, that was anybody's ball game there for a good 10 minutes of play. And then the same thing tonight, like, they were fighting pretty hard against Indiana, even despite getting down big in the third quarter and 17 points at one point. They just kept chipping away. They just never gave up their fight really until about the last five-ish minutes of the fourth quarter. So overall, I think this is just a really good game. And you talked about six guys had 13 points or more. Let's not forget, for most of their eight-man rotation that they had, McConnell had eight and Ben Shepherd had eight. So those guys were almost in double digits as well. It felt like it was a very balanced attack tonight. That's when we know that you're playing Indiana Pacers basketball, and that's when they're at their best. So I thought this was just a really impressive win, especially the way they turned things around in the second half after coming out not the greatest in the first half. I think they had their foot off the gas a little bit. They were playing about 85%. Instead of playing that 100% full throttle that we saw in game three. So the way that things went down in game three with the cinema that took place with Tyrese hitting the game winner compared to the stuff that happened in game four, I will say it was a much better energy overall from game three from the fans, but the game four fans were great. It was just about like a 90% compared to about 100% from what it was reaction wise and just fan base wise in game one or game three, I should say, of the playoffs at home for the Pacers. So not dissing anybody there that was at game four. I just think that maybe the level of play the Pacers played at in game three was better, and that's what made it a much better game in terms of like the crowd environment. But definitely, definitely felt like game three had more juice than game four, but it was still good juice in the arena.
Great juice. Honestly, look, from watching on TV, I felt like that game three, the Pacers came out swinging early on. They had an amazing first quarter. You know, there hadn't been playoff basketball in Indiana in quite some time. Celebrities everywhere. It was just like the perfect environment. Then, obviously, you have the, you know, like you said, the theatrics at the end, the Halliburton game winner. Like, that game was really intense. This game was more of just kind of like a sluggish type of, like, Indiana was never really, like, breaking away until that third quarter. And I just felt like it wasn't really like, oh, man, we're going back and forth. Like, it's a one-point game or we lost the lead. It was like the Pacers were in the driver's seat for the majority of the game. And, you know, sometimes that's fine. Not every game has to be a nail biter because it causes a lot of emotional stress on us. Mm-hmm. I mean, this game, luckily, I knew, like, okay, the Pacers will eventually handle business. Like, they'll take care of it. But – finally, you know, I think we were helped out a little bit by, unfortunately, some of the freak accidents that happened to the Bucks. They're like you said, I give them credit. They're battling. They're fighting hard. And it's a tough scene. I'm sure their fan base is pretty upset. I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter. They're kind of trying to spin this around a little bit. Like, it's not like the Pacers are pulling, like, Joel Embiid stuff out here and, like, grabbing people's ankles or stepping on them or anything. Like, it's not like that. But overall, I'm just really excited. An opportunity to close things out in game five. It's just, I don't remember, like, being in this driver's seat in quite some time. Our lives have changed drastically since the last time we were in this spot. But also, one thing I'm going to say, we're 1-0 in the Beat the Bucks shirt that I got in the mail recently. It feels good. I'm telling you, I don't know if I'm taking it off. I think I'm wearing this for game five because we need it. We need to win. I'll do my part.
We need to beat the Bucks. That's for sure. I will say this as we close things out. Obviously, just a really solid game overall. Nothing too much to write home about besides just Tyrese playing much better, shooting the ball better, confidence looked back. Definitely think, like you mentioned, without Pat Bev, great point. He was able to kind of get going a little bit more. Miles, fantastic all series long. Neesmith's defense, it's been really pivotal. I know that Middleton's still kind of doing what he's doing, but it's not like he's not working for it. You know, Neesmith is making him work for it. And any Bucks fan on social media that's wanting to crap on the Pacers and say that they're dirty and we hate them, whatever, you're just mad because you're down 3-1. It's fine. I understand. You know, nobody's celebrating anybody getting hurt.
No,
that's never. Just dumb. Nobody cares about that. Like, nobody wants anybody to be hurt. Okay, Tyrese Haliburton making a three when Middleton gets hurt is not them celebrating. The same thing with Obi Toppin making a fast break dunk or whatever when Dame got hurt. It's not like they're celebrating them getting hurt. They're celebrating their offensive play. So if any Pacer fan feels the need to respond to those Bucks fans, do what you got to do. But I think that you just got to let it go.
I'm staying out of it.
Yep, stay out of it and just be peacemakers, right? Don't be too riled up. It's not worth your energy or time to fight back on social with Bucks fans, because, you know, I would be mad too if my team was down 7-2 against this Pacers team throughout the season.
I mean, if we had these type of injuries, I'd be blaming the basketball god, saying, why us? You know, why? What did we do? But the Pacers went through this stuff in the past. Like I said earlier in this episode, it happens to teams. It's really unfortunate. The Clippers right now have had Kawhi go in and out of the lineup. Injuries are the worst part of the game. But I think for the Bucks, they did win a championship not too long ago. They have had success in this league. The Pacers are an up-and-coming team that I think it's great to be able to get some of the shine right now, have people talking about us, because I think right now they're able to see just what makes this team special. And also, it'd be great for Carlisle to get this series win and really be able to, you know, keep, you know, pushing forward. It's been a long time for Carlisle. Hasn't won in the playoffs since they won the championship with Dallas. We got to end that drought. Got to end it for Rick. Got to get these players more experience. If you can get guys like Tyrese Haliburton, Miles Turner, Andrew Nembhard, you know, Aaron Eastman, all those guys that haven't never played in the second round before, if you can get them that experience, oh, man, that's going to be a scary thing come this offseason going into next year, because they're really going to believe. That's when they're going to set that bar to say, hey, we want to go to conference finals or an NBA finals. Like, that's what the goal is. And very few teams have that type of goal going into the season. I want the Pacers to be one of them.
Absolutely, Fachi. Well, I think this is going to wrap up our post-game podcast for Game 4. Just a reminder, your Indiana Pacers lead the Milwaukee Bucks 3-1. Right. They're 75% of the way there to completing round one and moving on to round two. Well, they will play either the Philadelphia 76ers, unlikely, or the New York Knicks, more likely. So, but you can't overlook Milwaukee for games 5, 6, and 7. Get some sleep, enjoy this one, but you got to focus and get back and take care of business in game 5. No way you can allow this thing to get back to a game 7 with Milwaukee.
No.
Or
never.
you're going to feel the pressure, and it's going to be tough. So like I said, this series is close to being over for Indiana, but it is not over yet. The fat lady has not sang, and there is a lot of basketball left to be played here. So Pacer fans, don't overlook the Bucks. That's all I'm going to say, Fachi. Go ahead and tell everybody where they can find us at on social media.
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at PacersPod, STP. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at _FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at PacersPodSTP. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok at Setting the Pace. And Alex, tell them where they can check us out on YouTube.
We are on the YouTube at youtube.com/Setting the Pace, a Pacers podcast, where you can find all of our video content. I did just post the Game 3 introductions. If you guys want to check out that really cool video, that is available on YouTube for you to watch. It's about 2 to 3 minutes long. I can't remember how long it is exactly, but starting lineups plus the intro video for the playoffs. I think you guys are going to like that. But, you know, make sure you guys are subscribed to the channel there. Leave us a comment in the comment section if you like what you're listening to. And also, we've got a few new 5-star ratings and reviews on our Apple, on our Spotify. So thank you guys so much for doing that. If you haven't already, we would really appreciate it if you could take like 2 minutes out of your day to leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you get your podcast. And if you haven't already, also check out the link in the description of this podcast where Fachi has his Beat the Buck shirt on. You can see it on YouTube here. You can get that for just $16 right now, but time is running out for our sale on our storefront. So make sure you guys check that out. There are five designs up that you can check out. We have them in hoodies, crew necks, tank tops, baseball shirts. We got it, long sleeve shirts, regular t-shirts, anything you want, pretty much available for you there. But with that being said, Fauci, if you're glad the Indiana Pacers took care of business on their home court and they lead the Milwaukee Bucks 3-1, then hit me with those three words.
Let's go, Pacers.
You know, whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of Setting the Pace. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or simpler, EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in Indiana or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/pace to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/pace, P-A-C-E. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.